It's 5:51 a.m. on Madison Avenue, and you're listening to Night Call. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Night Call. I am Molly Lambert, and I am in New York City.
New York City.
Sitting next to Emily Yoshida in real life and talking to us from Los Angeles in a shed where we keep the aliens when we find them. And then we take them out to feed them Reese's Pieces because we can't get the rights to M&M's. Tess Lynch.
Hello. Please feed me.
It's so strange.
I'm in a garage.
It's like you're our imaginary friend that we, you know, we have. There's like a secret number that only works at certain times of the day, and we can access the line.
Hey, speaking of secret numbers,
summon me.
And hotlines,
yes.
You should give us a call at 1-240-46-NIGHT and email us at nightcallpodcast.
nightcallpodcast@gmail.com and ask us your questions, share your spooky stories. Just drop us a line. Tell us what's on your mind.
Tell us about the shadow people. Tell us about how Art Bell changed your life.
Molly, before we get into Art Bell, which we will, I know the people want it. Tell us about New York City and how it's changing your life.
Guys, I'm in New York City. New York City.
And you're on, you were, so the intro is actually accurate for the first time.
We are actually on Madison Avenue.
But we've always been on Madison Avenue,
but
at
I
least
didn't
on
know
my
that,
end.
Because I didn't know where the studio was until now.
Molly was telling me as we were walking into the building, she was like, Molly noted, if not the most noted Mad Men recapper in the history of the show, told me, I didn't even know it was named after Madison Avenue until like the fifth season. Which is incredible.
I thought it was like a pun on Ad Men, which
sure,
it also
it is.
But I didn't realize that Mad Men was like a thing, you know, it's slang for ad guys.
Yep. It's all coming together. This is why you have to come to New York so you can get the
well, this
full
building
picture.
Is also super Mad Men. We walked inside and it has like a crazy Art Deco lobby.
It's like first or second season Mad Men before they move into their fancy mid-century place. Yeah.
And I am a
sleek
sucker for the Art Deco glamour. We're right by the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, whenever I come to New York, I go full Kimmy Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
Where I just like walk around like delighted by everything, just like amidst all the jaded New Yorkers. And I'm like, look,
well, that was me the first
a tall building.
The first like year I was here, I would just walk around with my head up, you know, like looking around because it was all kind of new to me. And people would be giving me the weirdest looks. Like, why do you have this sense of wonder in your eyes?
Yeah, they don't even really look at you. They just kind of like shake their heads at you. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, my brother and I were on the subway that was like above ground, and there was a part where we were like so excited that it was above ground, and then we were like, look, the Statue of Liberty.
You like get up out of your seat and you run to the window.
We were like standing by the window with like our faces pressed against the glass.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a magical time.
Molly, when you visit New York, what are your must-dos?
What's Molly Lambert's New York agenda?
Eating an authentic New York bagel from Dunkin' Donuts across the street right now.
I see the evidence of it right in front of me. It's true.
I don't know. I mean, I'm usually here for like family visit reasons, so it's not like full freedom.
I
do a lot of Queens today. This was the first trip where my brother and I explored Queens. We went to Forest Hills and walked around, I was enchanted by Forest Hills.
Yeah.
I love Queens because it's like the valley.
Yeah. Oh, it totally is.
You know, we're out near like Jamaica, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's the suburbs, so it's far away from everything. So it's also hard to get into the city proper. But my brother and I went to the Met. I love the Met. I love the ancient Egyptian.
I saw you at the
wing
Temple
of the Met.
Bindur.
It's my favorite place in the world.
It's great.
Had the realization that my dream home is like an Egyptian tomb. You know,
well, you can have that be your final resting place.
There were like a bunch of those like little like darkened rooms that you walk in where they have the panels on the wall. I was just like, okay, just like a bed, like right here. My brother and I talked about Mix of Files and Mrs. Baisley Frankweiler a lot because you know that's the dream.
The dream is to find a way to stay the night in or the Natural History Museum.
And, well, I did get to go in the Natural History Museum after hours. The last time I was here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because my friend Brianna works at the Natural History Museum and, you know, she was like helping them close. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It was so
nice
cool.
Shift.
And there's like offices and stuff. You know, I love just seeing the backstage of anything. So like the backstage of the Natural History Museum, like I was just as excited about like, look, this door leads to a mundane hallway. Isn't that crazy?
So when do you leave tomorrow?
I leave tomorrow. So,
well, you know, it's going to be hard to top going to see a screening of I Feel Pretty. Well,
yeah, Emily was like, hey, want to go to a free screening? And I was like, do I? A press screening? Again, I'm just, you know, things that everyone else has done a lot.
It will be quickly de-glamorized for you.
New to me. And then I'll go back to LA and I can be jaded about all the beautiful sunsets there. And yeah, it'll be chill. Guys, how are you?
I'm good. We lost an icon this week.
We did. We lost probably the single biggest inspiration on
this
podcast.
Night Call, yeah.
I was saying,
the godfather of Night Call.
The godfather of Night Call, Art Bell, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Died on Friday the 13th.
That's
right.
But also, or did he?
Right.
Well, right now, the number one search, if you look for Art Bell, is cause of death. So I'm glad that there's already some.
Well,
some.
I was like, I'll just put it out there that the lizard people got to him.
Nope.
That's what really happened.
Succumbed.
Today's podcast is sponsored by HelloFresh, a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. There's something for everyone with HelloFresh's selection, with three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family. I personally chose veggie because I like having new ideas for vegetarian meals that I can cook, and I had a really delicious grain bowl, which we talk about a lot on Night Call. Some of us are big fans of the grain bowl. One great thing about HelloFresh is that you don't have to think about what you're going to plan for dinner. You don't have to spend money on takeout. And you don't have to worry about going to the grocery store because it comes right to your house, delivered to your door, and it's less than $10 per serving with free shipping. So you don't have to spend all night in the kitchen cooking either, because every recipe is formulated to take around 30 minutes, even though it has fun little things and quick pickles and new techniques for you to experiment with. It's great. So for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter promo code CALL30, that's CALL30. So yeah, visit HelloFresh.com and enter promo code CALL30. And tell them Night Call sent you.
Do you guys have any good Art Bell memories or good Coast to Coast AM memories? I mean, it's an interesting thing to talk about just because of like what it kind of became. But I still feel like it's possible to be nostalgic for what it was.
Yeah, well, it also like started as like a regular like right-wing talk radio show. So the fact
well,
that...
Well, his politics were interesting, though. I mean, he was technically a libertarian.
Yeah.
Technically a libertarian, such a terrible phrase. Technically a libertarian.
No, but it's interesting to think about like
what those alignments meant in the 90s
what
and 80s.
What conspiracy theory people, you know, the idea of the conspiracy theory libertarian is such a thing, obviously. But it's interesting to think about Art Bell versus Alex Jones.
Right. Well, I mean, I remember we had a neighbor who was really into Art Bell. And even before I really knew what it was to be like a paranoid, like, you know, conspiracy theorist guy, my mom would always be like, that guy's, you know, he's into conspiracy theories. And but we were friends with him. He was like our, you know, funny neighbor. He was like harmless and, you know,
well,
I don't know.
A lot of people are into conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're all of the mind that like some of them are true, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the big ones, especially, you know, like the government did a lot of shady stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are not true.
And the not true ones are the most fun ones.
Can I tell you a 9/11 conspiracy that somebody just told me that I'd never heard before?
Okay.
That, just to get right into it, because we're, you know, honoring the legacy.
While we're in New York.
While we're in New York. There was an episode of The Lone Gunman, apparently, the X-Files spinoff, in the year, like, 1999, mm-hmm. that showed something about, like, people doing a terrorist attack on the Twin Towers or something. And then people after 9/11 were like, Fox, like, that's proof that, like, it was an inside job, because, like, Fox, the channel that the mm-hmm. Lone Gunman was on, yeah. knew it was going to happen. And so they aired that episode so that it would seem like too much of a coincidence if it did happen.
What would possibly be the gain?
Yeah.
Coincidence conspiracy.
So what I think what
I'm confused as to what the actual
what we're saying, like, what's so great about it, doesn't matter.
Yeah, no.
What's so great about Art Bell is that, yeah, it didn't matter if you really believe in the conspiracies or not, because it's about just sort of going to those weird places of the mind of, like, what if all, you know, I think to most people, it's like satisfying to make connections where there are none, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, wouldn't it make more sense if everything did have all these weird interconnections and yeah. the world all was a universal theory of lizard people?
Yeah. It can just get politicized so easily. But when it's just like, I wonder why that is the way it is.
Yeah.
It's just like a weird, like, imaginary playground, kind of.
Caleb Horton wrote a really great thing about Art Bell that he reposted on his Twitter that he wrote a while ago, but it was just about Art Bell and about how, like, Art Bell is the perfect thing to drive long distances to.
Oh, yes. No, that's my relationship with
him. And he was saying it's also because it's like that's when you really have time to, like, meditate on, like, what are those lights in the distance? Like, what's that weird grain silo I just passed? Yeah. And that Art Bell really just, you know, creates this environment where you're allowed to just, like, indulge in wondering about those things. Like, what if it was planted there by the aliens?
And just the Colin aspect, too, is, I mean, it just creates this sort of, it kind of feels like the radio equivalent of, like, you know, the kind of internet that we talk a lot about that's sort of lost the kind of ungentrified weirdos only internet.
Yeah, message board.
Yeah, internet. Yeah, totally. Like, it's, it is, like, a message board radio show.
People who care about aliens and who aren't, like, trying to get the biggest audience possible, but are just like, I have to find all the other people who know about aliens.
I need
aliens.
To wave my freak flag so that I can find my people.
That was a big reason we wanted this to be a call-in show.
Yeah, yeah.
And well,
the other thing is, like, I think that the long drive thing is totally, I mean, that is, like, that is my, it's not like I listen to Coast all the time, but definitely if I was on a road trip, I did. And the other inspiration point for this podcast, the Delilah show, is, like, another one like that. And, like, friend of the podcast, Remember Brown, was talking to me about, like, how he has such a relationship with Delilah because, you know, you just, if you have to do a long drive at night.
What's Delilah?
Oh, man. Oh, my God. She's, like, the advice call-in lady. She's, like, she's amazing. She's
the advice call-in lady.
She's, it's, like, a syndicated show, and it's
at night.
Oh, I've
never heard of this.
But,
you know, Tess and I grew up on Loveline for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I also enjoyed a lot.
Delilah is much more the, like, she'll do a dedication of a song for somebody.
Oh, and Art LeBeau.
Yeah.
These are all, like, our favorite people are the radio personalities where you're like, you know, they're always there for you. It's that weird parasocial thing where you're like, that's my friend.
Yeah. And it is, like, a little more, it's not just like a celebrity, like, there is a kind of communication line going back and forth, which does, you know, create.
And Art LeBeau, especially, because he's taking a lot of dedications from people that are, like, incarcerated, where it's just like, it goes, like, above physical space, you know, it's like into the metaphysical space that is, like, the radio and the airwaves.
Did you guys ever hear Art Bell's show that he started, like, after he left?
Oh, Midnight in the Desert?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it has the greatest name of all time.
Well, yes. I mean, that should just be our permanent sign-on. We should have just gone back and done that.
I was surprised, actually, Molly, that you didn't do Midnight in the Desert.
Yeah.
As opposed
why
to,
didn't
I?
We can go back. We can
change. In the morning. Well, that's morning.
We, you know.
I mean, it's sort of interesting. I am kind of curious about his politics, which is something I was never thinking of at the time that I was listening.
Oh, I can tell you, Emily, because I printed out my notes.
Yes! Yeah! Tess with the notes!
So, way to call back to the songbird, Songfinch. So this is from the Washington Post obituary that posted today. It's full of good stuff. It has like just everything you want. But it says regarding his politics, quote, his politics were all over the map. A self-described libertarian, he opposed abortion, supported same-sex marriage, and was skeptical of the science behind global warming. He blamed Richard Nixon for spawning a nation of cynics, supported Barry Goldwater in 1964 and Ross Perot in 1992, came to consider Bill Clinton a great president, and said he voted for Barack Obama in 2008.
What a free spirit.
It's a mixed bag.
Emily and I just both did the the white guy reaction gif.
Yeah. I was saying, it's kind of, it's a little more like those puppies that nod and turn their heads.
Those owls that look from side to side, like, huh, oh, twist.
There's some good and bad.
What comes next?
It also said, I like this. Mr. Bell had no stomach for haters. He had a white supremacist on as a guest, made him comfortable enough for him to spout racist views, and then Mr. Bell informed the guests that, quote, I am married to a brown-skinned Asian woman.
Well, all there was right.
There was this whole crazy thing, I guess, where he like moved to the Philippines. He married a Filipino woman and then moved to the Philippines. And then there was a hoax against him where it was like a letter that they, you know, somebody sent to a newspaper and said like Art Bell wrote this, and it was a bunch of terrible things about Filipino people. And then it was proven to be a hoax, but it still kind of came back to bite him a few times. It would like recirculate. So I think it was something that he kind of had to address.
I knew he like moved to Pahrump, Nevada, because he thought that like somebody was out to get him. That is also where Heidi Fleiss moved when she like was fleeing.
Yeah.
That's where that great documentary about her takes place, where she's has all the parrots. So Pahrump, Nevada is the place to go.
That's our spot. That's our next field trip.
Right. Didn't he stop broadcasting too because he thought like somebody was, you know, trying to get him, and there were people like,
he's like, it's getting too hot.
Property.
What also is interesting about Art Bell is obviously the ways it overlaps with like Philip K. Dick and people like that, where you're like, how much of this might even just be in your head?
Yeah.
But also like, it's very interesting in your head and I want to know, but it might be scary in there. Seems a little scary in there sometimes.
Well, it's like, what are you experiencing? Like, you know, there's enough to make you feel paranoid, but to actually like uproot your life and take action in that.
Well, that also shows that maybe it's not like just a character, because obviously some radio personas are.
Oh,
like
no, I don't think character. It was a character at all.
No, but the voice, it's like, it's it's such a good voice. He has, I mean, he's so great at what he does.
Yeah.
That, you know, George Norrie sort of demonstrates what is so great about Art Bell that is not just immediately replicable by anyone else.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't hate Alex Jones. I mean, I hate him, but I don't.
You should hate Alex.
I hate him, but I
hot take.
But I think he has a, like an interest, like his voice is so weird, you know?
Oh, he has got a bizarre voice.
He's got like,
it sounds like it was,
yeah.
Like I've reports were run over by a monster truck.
Yeah, exactly. Like I understand like why there's a cult of personality around him.
Sure.
You know?
Right. Well, and he gets very animated. He's like, not boring to listen to.
No, he's chaotic, evil, charismatic.
As opposed to like.
And also he lets the white supremacists on his show, which is what, you know, if we're caping for Art Bell, we're gonna go with the narrative that
but at least Art Bell shut them down
apparently. Because that's what I'm saying, is a lot of conspiracy theories lead over to white supremacy. A lot of the more recent conspiracy theories, like birthers and people like that, are just straight up racism. So it's interesting to talk. We talk about this a lot because this is what the podcast is. It's like we're like leftist conspiracy theorists and preppers like unite.
Radical feminist conspiracy theories.
But also like radical feminist conspiracy theories, you know.
Are real.
Are real.
They're all true.
Oh, man. Valerie Solanas was just writing what she knew.
Yeah. Please make that the title.
This is a hot pod today.
Very hot pod.
Well, rest in peace,
Art Bell, if you are.
One of today's episode sponsors is Care.com, the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing family care. I've been using Care.com for a while to find services like housekeepers and babysitters, and it's been a humongous lifesaver. I have two kids and three pets, which is makes me a gross person. And as much as I try and stay on top of things, when stuff gets busy, our house just totally falls apart. So the first time I used care.com was when my oldest kid was a newborn, and I had just gone back to work. My husband was working, and we had not really thought through what to do about getting anyone to help with life. So a really nice relative gifted us a care.com. She said, go, you know, find somebody and get your house cleaned. And it was the biggest gift ever. I mean, it just totally reset our perspectives on everything. We were totally underwater, and it was a huge deal. And then a year later, I needed a last minute babysitter, and we found a really awesome woman on care.com who's still working for us 4 years later. The best things about care.com, it's super user friendly. The website is really easy to get started. You sign up for free, enter your zip code, and then you can browse the services you want. They have housekeeping, pet sitters, senior care providers, pretty much everything. Then when you sign up for a premium membership, you can contact whoever fits your needs, schedule interviews, and book a caregiver. Another really awesome feature is the payment center. So you can pay directly through an app or on the website, and you can compare rates for people in your area so that you can make sure that you're paying the right amount. You can also review and manage payments, which is great if you have a regular housekeeper or babysitter and you want to make sure that you're on top of your household payroll, so to speak. So that's right on the website and also super easy to use. Anytime I need a babysitter or a housekeeper on short notice, I go back to care.com, or if I'm looking for the perfect present for new parents. To get started, visit care.com/call, and you can save 30% off your care.com premium membership when you subscribe. Can I say one more thing about Arco?
Yeah, of
which
course.
Is that he had a really, really good, I think he actually addressed this a few times, shadow people.
Oh, but, yeah.
Listening to a 2 hour long, I was going to call it a podcast, but it's not a podcast, guys. It's a radio cast.
You know what? Podcasts are just radio shows.
It was a proto podcast where he had on a Native American, and he said shaman, and the shaman corrected him and said, shaman, there's no shame. And he was like, all right. But it was such an interesting conversation. But Art Bell had received, I think, more than 4,000 emails from people, from callers, you know, and emailers saying that they'd had experiences with shadow people. And here at Night Call, we have received a couple of emails about shadow people.
Ooh.
Hey, Night Callers. This is John in Chicago. And I don't have a ghost story per se, but I do have a shadow person story. And I'm curious if others have shadow people stories to share as well. But this happened when I was living in Minneapolis when I was in college, and my girlfriend at the time and I were out for a walk really late at night, and there was nobody around, and in the distance up on a hill we could see a sort of silhouetted figure that was clearly wearing a top hat and Victorian garb of like a cape and a cane, and I didn't think that much of it. I thought perhaps it was an eccentric actor out from a show or a costume party or something. Maybe a little odd that he was walking alone that late at night, but I didn't really want to mention it either because I didn't want to call attention to it and scare my girlfriend, but I could tell that she was noticing it too, and this is the part that's hardest to explain. So he started walking toward us from the hill, kind of coming in and out of these streetlights, but he would move at these intervals where he would skip several feet at a time, kind of coming at us like shudderingly. And I was noticing it, but I didn't want to acknowledge it. But then she eventually said she was getting scared. So she suggested we run. And we started running toward her house, which was around the corner. And as we started running, he started moving at us much quicker. So we ran into her house, closed the door. She was very worked up. She was the daughter of an Episcopal priest, so she suggested that we pray, which I found like a little much, but we did, and then didn't encounter him ever again. At the time, I didn't really know how to classify it, but later I would look it up online years later and realize not only did it match the shadow person description, but it matched a specific shadow person who's the Hat Man. And people see this hat man, a solid black silhouette. We never saw any facial features, which at the time I thought was just because it was late and it was at night moving out of streetlights, but that's an attribute of shadow people. And they usually portend something bad happening. Like usually people see them indoors and usually they're by themselves and usually it means someone close to the person will die. And that didn't necessarily happen for us. The only thing I can think is that within the next year or two, both of our parents, each sets, got divorced, and her brother did die, but years later. So I don't know exactly what it was that we saw or what we experienced, but it was certainly otherworldly, and it's the description of shadow people and hat men very closely. So I'm curious to hear what other people have seen. Thanks for the great show. Keep it up.
That is so scary. I got chills listening to that.
That was terrifying.
I'm looking up the hat man.
Yeah, look up the hat man.
Damn.
I love that he was like, maybe it was just a wandering thespian. that the fact that you saw it with your girlfriend and that you both noticed the movement and everything is really freaky. That's always the thing that I have a hard time explaining when two people see the same thing. You're with somebody else, or I don't know. I don't really know that much about shadow people or like what makes them different from ghosts.
Does the Babadook wear a hat, y'all?
Yeah, I think so. The Babadook wears a hat. Yeah.
I like the idea of like the hat, but you can't see the face is like very scary.
Yeah. Slenderman doesn't wear a hat, right? Or does he?
Oh, I thought he did.
Oh, maybe.
He seems like the type to wear a hat.
jaunty hat for, right? Slenderman.
Some people. Yeah. So I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and it says that sometimes, like, people who suffer sleep paralysis.
It's tied in with sleep paralysis for sure. That's the Wikipedia really makes a point of that. But then I saw a shadow person out and about. And I've never had sleep paralysis.
Wait, you saw a shadow person?
Yeah,
burying
that's
the
why
lead.
I wanted to talk about this.
Oh my God! When?
And it. So okay, I went to Boston. I think it was actually over winter break of my. I was in 2003, so I, you know, maybe like sophomore or junior year of college, and I went with my friend Rachel. We stayed at a hotel, and we went out to see Something's Gotta Give. And have a ladies' night.
Great detail.
So whatever. That's context for you. We're leaving the theater and it's cold, like really cold. And we are walking out of the theater to our hotel and we see a figure walking towards us from very far away. And Rachel looked at me and was like, that person has no face. And I was like, no, I think that's a scarf. And she was like, I'm really freaked out. That person has no face. And so we were going to pass each other. And as they get closer, I see that they have like a hood and a big, I don't know if it was like a parka or like a heavy coat, but their face was like a void. And I didn't see, there were no eyes, no facial features. And it turned as we like passed it, we couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman or what. It turned and just kind of stopped and turned and stared at us. And we just ran.
With its no face?
It had no face.
Did it have eyes?
It had no eyes. Ah. It looked like just blankness. Like, wait, it was just like blackness. Like,
so was
no features.
Was the parka, like, did that look more or less normal? Was it just the place where the face should have been that was dark?
It was the place where the face should have been. And the parka looked normal. It looked, I mean, it looked, I don't want to like add any, you know, I'm sure in retrospect, I'm like, it was a creepy parka. Nothing struck me about the parka. It was garb. It was a cloak. But it was weird because it was all alone. It was late at night. Like, you know, we were coming out of the movie, but other than that, there wasn't much there. I think it was actually a weeknight too. And it was cold. So, I mean, when you see someone bundled up, it's not like that strange. But what was weird is at the point that we would have been able to see facial features, there was nothing. And then when we were like right up on them, there was just nothing. There was no face.
That's and you so both
we talked about it for years after this.
Yeah, yeah, and you both saw it. Did yeah. anything?
So how close were you when it passed?
We were like, we were walking down the same side of the street. So we were probably like a foot away.
And you were in Boston?
Yeah, and there was
somewhere?
Nothing there. We were in Boston.
Something had to give.
So both you and our caller Both you and our caller saw them outside, which this Wikipedia is also telling me they usually appear inside. He mentioned that too, that they're like typically appear inside to people, which I feel like if I saw something like that inside, it would be like so obvious that you wouldn't like there'd be no question. You'd be like, oh, that's a terrifying shadow person.
An intruder in my home. Yeah. Well, yeah. And also with Art Bell, I think a lot of the people who were calling and writing in about it were saying that it was like you wake up in the middle of the night and there's this, and sometimes a group of them just around you. And like the red eyes staring at you. And it's like, plus your sleep paralysis. Like, what a fun time. Nightmare.
Wait, you wake up from your sleep paralysis and you see shadow people around you? That sounds like the worst thing in the world.
Well, it's like you entered the level, the between level that always exists that you're sometimes accessing when you see the shadow people. But then it's like in your sleep paralysis, you're there. You're just trapped there.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Wow. It made me think about the no faces from Spirited Away also.
Yeah. Well, there's but one no face, but it is it was the best no face. Not to nerd out about
Spirited
Away.
Maybe those no faces are like shadow people cousins.
I wonder what they want. I mean, what the shadow people want. Like, yeah, I guess that's the thing I can't understand. Like, what's the thought about what makes them different? Are they a ghost? Are they a dead person? Like a spirit of a dead person? Or are they
wandering
an
spirit?
Imprint? Or I don't know.
I think the two theories are that they either come to kind of like be the opening act for some terrible thing that's going to happen to you, or else they're like benevolent and they're just trying to make you aware of the spirit realm to like open your third eye, etc.
Wow.
Open your third eye.
Is your third eye open, Tess?
I don't think it is. And I don't think it ever has been.
You never saw another shadow person?
No, I never saw another shadow person. That was the only time it's happened. Nothing like terrible happened. I mean, like medium terrible things happened. Like, I mean, it was not a great year, but nothing catastrophic happened. I mean, definitely I was like, okay, we're about to die. And we didn't.
Man.
Wow.
Yeah.
This stuff is so scary. We should have like a caution, too spooky warning on this week's.
Yeah. Trigger warning. Ghosties.
Ghosty warn. Ghost warning.
Just the ghost emoji on the front. Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have nightmares now for real. And I usually don't get scared by that kind of thing. I gotta chill though.
Ooh. Oh, I have another ghost story, you guys.
Okay.
I know I was telling you that parenting boards often have the best ghost stories, and one of them that I read earlier today was a woman whose daughter said, she looked at her and she said, "You remind me of my other mommy. She had long blonde hair and long eyelashes. She put me in the bath with all my clothes on and I stayed there." Forever.
Is that like a ghost children?
Why are children ghost, so ghost terrifying?
Children. Well, ghost children are, you know.
They're ghost children.
Have you ever heard something on the news and wondered if there was more to the story? Have you ever yearned for a peek behind the curtain into the murky, hidden world just past the edges of those official statements? From UFOs to stories of ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or join Ben, Matt, and Noel as they dive headfirst into the world's strangest rabbit holes, separating fact from fiction, asking questions like, what exactly is sleep paralysis? Have we finally discovered the science behind ghosts? Did the CIA really experiment on U.S. citizens? Why do we eat bacon for breakfast? How long has the Pentagon been hunting UFOs? Did people really find a mass grave at Benjamin Franklin's house? That one's new to me. Tune in each week as the guys apply critical thinking to conspiracy theories, allegations of the paranormal, government cover-ups, and more in Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
Guys, speaking of terrifying things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants to be horrified by a little song on the radio right now called Freaky Friday?
Yeah. Haunt your ears
Freaky
with this haunting
Friday.
Tune.
We're going to put Emily through an audio haunted house right now.
Well, to preface, we were talking about this in between pauses during last week's recording. And you guys were freaking out over, so to speak, about this song, Freaky Friday. And I was like, I've never heard this because I live in New York now and I never listen to the radio because I don't drive. And then I started to look up the lyrics, and then I felt, but I never listened to it.
Listening to it will be an immersive haunt experience for your ears.
Should this be a listen along?
Yeah. It's the worst song of all time.
But it's also maybe a catchy song.
It's a very catchy song.
Let's play Devil's Advocate here.
Let's play Freaky Friday for Emily.
I got an open mind right now. My third eye is open for Freaky Friday.
Open mind and open ears.
Okay, so Kendall Jenner just showed up, and that's the end of the song. That's the end of the song.
No, yeah, they play this song on the radio.
The last lyric in the song is, "I've got a vagina, I'm going to learn the inner workings of a woman," and it's Kendall Jenner singing it, and then the song just ends.
Yeah, they play this on the radio like 100 times a day.
You know what? Do you know what my takeaway from this? I don't know who Lil Dicky is. I sound like a grandma right now. I know who everybody else in the song.
I know who everybody. Who's that Lil Dicky guy?
Lil Dicky.
Lil Nicky? Is that his name?
Lil Dick Dick.
Lil Dick Dick.
He's from Pennsylvania.
Okay, sure.
That's
fine.
All you need to know.
Of course.
From Pennsylvania, he's got a nose ring.
Ugh. Does he look like G Easy?
No. He looks like the guy that freestyle raps at like the cafeteria.
Okay. See, I know who G-Eazy is. But, okay.
Do you know who G-Eazy's dating?
Is he still dating Lana?
No. He dumped Lana for Halsey. Was it?
Whoa.
It was a scandal. But anyway, also good for Lana. Get away from that.
Yeah, seriously.
That trash man.
That made me, I had my doubts about. Okay. So I just want to say my gut takeaway from this song, which is that, okay, so I don't know who this guy is, but I know who everybody else is. These are all at least among an under 25 crowd, I would say that these are A-listers, right?
Yeah, everyone knows who Ed Sheeran is.
Everybody knows who Ed Sheeran had the biggest song of the year last year. And Kendall Jenner is a popular model and a Kardashian. And DJ Khaled is a walking meme. Everybody knows who these people are. This makes the people that are popular, this makes young people look fucking stupid. Like that is my takeaway as a 32-year-old now. I feel bad that these are like hot celebs that they have. Like they all sound like idiots for even walking into the studio for this thing. I'm embarrassed for them.
Do you feel like the song requires too much world building?
The fact that you're explaining the premise in the chorus, it's like a Huey Lewis song. It's like a movie theme.
Don't you dare defame the good name of Huey Lewis on this podcast. This is a fucking pro Huey Lewis podcast.
But I'm saying that
you're talking about the Pineapple Express song.
Yes, yeah, so I'm saying like explaining the premise of the song. But especially doing it in the chorus, like I understand like in the first verse, you need to do some setup. Fine, sure, whatever. When you are actually saying I'm in Chris Brown's body in the chorus of the song, it feels like you maybe had too much to explain.
Well, it's also the weirdest person to pick of anyone to do this song with, because it wouldn't be that weird if it wasn't Chris Brown. But there's literally one reference to my controversial past.
Right.
And that's like, but you're like, I don't think it would be great to be Chris Brown, like, at all.
No,
if you got to choose.
Yeah. Do you think he wrote it like I woke up in Kanye's body and then Kanye was like, hell no. And he was like, okay, Chris Brown, you know, third down the list of people.
I wonder how many people had to be asked before.
Yeah, before they got to Chris Brown. But it's such a Chris Brown song. And what it does sort of well is remind you that there are some good Chris Brown songs and that they are very catchy.
Oh, look, you know what? Like, before all that shit happened,
Loved Chris Brown. That's why it was so heartbreaking.
No, it was horrible. I mean,
he hasn't like done the things you would need to do to like get back to a place where people are
absolutely rooting
for you.
He's done nothing to get anybody. Yeah.
So it's weird that this would be his new hit because,
it's totally baffling as a career move for him at this point in his career, like what, and then the fact that it's being played on the radio. I mean, I would almost more understand if he did it and nobody cared. Like it would just be like, oh, he's lost his mind.
No, this is a hit. It's a hit.
It's insane. It's insane to me. God, young people are fucking washed. I don't care. Like, I am so glad to be in my fucking 30s.
Dude, my parents have been going out like every night in New York.
Didn't they stay out later than you?
Yeah,
and your
stayed out later than me and my brother every night.
Wow, what are they doing?
Clubbing.
Where did they go clubbing? Can we go with them?
They went to like Randy Weston's 92nd birthday jazz show.
That sounds chill. It's also
like a 92nd, you know, I like the idea of a 92-year-old just being like the coolest person in the world, which he is.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you were saying it was like on 92nd Street for some reason, which also sounds chill. That sounds amazing.
So yeah, none of us are allowed to get washed is what is, you know, don't.
I think it's okay to. Look,
it's okay. We talk about this a lot. Like none of us have any FOMO about being a teenager right now because it seems like a horrible hellscape.
Did you have any FOMO? This is the big FOMO question. Did you have any FOMO about Coachella? About
no,
Bachella?
You know why? Because I just watched Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump's Rules entire Instagram story, which was like 300 posts about Coachella, and it was great. I felt like I was there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it looked exhausting. And I was like, I'm so glad I'm not doing
that. It did look exhausting, but I was like, I want to ingest this because it's like they go to every promo party. So they're like the McDonald's party, all that stuff. And they're like enjoying it. So it's like fun to watch. I mean, I watched Bachella on YouTube.
I haven't even watched it yet.
I watched it live and I stayed up and I was like, this is exhausting for people on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You were out here. I mean, that happened when I was fast asleep. I was not. I'd love to watch it at some point.
It was great. It was amazing. Yeah. And then Cardi B was amazing.
Yeah.
She got booked in a slot that was like not a headlining slot because it was before like her album came out. She got booked a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But then obviously she became a much bigger deal by the time it happened. And she looked great. She wore this outfit that was like a tribute to Left Eye.
Oh,
and then
nice.
She twerked pregnant. It was great.
Cool.
Yeah. It was a really fun show.
I mean, I did kind of wish I was at this year's, obviously. But there's no way I'm going to, you know, there's no way I'm going to get my body out there.
What if you woke up
in Cardi B's body?
Cardi's body.
Well, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, there's already someone in Cardi B's body, so there's no room for you. Occupy.
I want the Cardi B remix of Freaky Friday with her and her unborn child.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a million parody songs of this. I mean, that's the thing. It's like when a song is constructed to be a meme like that, it just feels cynical because you're like,
well, the best memes aren't constructed, though. Like,
right. Because,
look, if you want to feel depressed, you should just read about how Lil Dicky wanted to raise like $70,000 to produce his sophomore, I think, album, and instead raised like $120,000 or something. And he wants to be a comedian.
Is he a YouTuber?
I was like really wanting to hate on Lil Dicky in the song.
You grew to love him. And also the song is really catchy, and Tess and I were singing it all week.
The problem is mustard. You put the mustard on
mustard.
Anything,
mustard
and I'm
makes
just like,
it good.
Oh, I like it on some level.
And then also you just are like walking around going, I'm in Chris Brown's body.
That's not the thing you want to be walking around.
No,
humming.
It's not, but, and yet.
See,
yet this
is why I'm washed, because my music right now, I'm like, oh, I haven't heard Freaky Friday. I've just been rediscovering Magnetic Fields and all the Magnetic Fields side projects and you know, humming sad songs to myself all day.
The songs are also catchy.
Yeah, well, I'm washed and I don't give a fuck.
I'll take the Stephen Merritt cover of Freaky Friday.
Oh my God. You can hear it. It writes itself. You can. That is a melody. That is a Stephen Merritt melody.
Put it on a ukulele. It's a Stephen Merritt song.
I'm Freaky Friday.
Anyway. Good job.
Well,
if you guys want to make Friday, your Freaky Friday, a little spookier, Spooky Saturday, perhaps we have time for one more ghostly night call.
This night call comes to us from Kate, and I'm just going to kind of summarize the beginning because it's a little long, but she's a librarian and at a museum, and she says that her workplace is haunted, and she has seen three separate ghosts kind of off and on throughout her time working there. So she says, the first ghost is a woman dressed in late, early 19th, early 20th century clothing, and she carries a rifle. I'm located in the Southwest, so this isn't too much of a surprise. She was a former head librarian, and according to the staff, she keeps guard over the collections. She resides in a specific area in the stacks and reading room, and if things get out of order, she will get annoyed and make it more difficult for you to find what you need until you clean the area up. For example, I was looking for a folder of photos I know was in a specific box because I saw it the day before, but the next day it had disappeared. Sure enough, when I spent some time reshelving and checked the box later in the day, the folder was where it should have been. The second ghost is a man who haunts a somewhat deserted area of the stacks that used to house offices when we had a much larger staff. I don't know much about him, but he seems the most aggressive of the three. When I was walking up the stairs to that area one time, I felt a hard bop on the top of my head, like a hand hitting it. I looked around, but there was nothing there, and there's no way any part of the ceiling could have fallen on me. I mentioned the incident to a colleague who then said she was coming down those stairs one time, and she felt two hands on her back almost as if she was being pushed. She didn't fall, but it was a strong sensation. I'm not sure what his deal is, but I'm always a little careful when I go up or down those stairs. The last is another woman who haunts another area of the stacks. She's dressed in all white and also in early 20th century clothes. I've only seen her out of the corner of my eye, but she haunts the area where her personal collection sits on the shelf. We have a lot of personal artifacts that people have donated over the years that have sentimental value, so I'm not surprised the owner's energy may be tied up to those objects. And then she says that she has a volunteer who's seen things like pencils being thrown and cobwebs have had some movement in them and stuff. But yeah, that's three ghosts haunting a library. I feel like ghosts in libraries, I feel like, are now, they feel so appropriate, I think, just because of Ghostbusters.
Well, it always makes sense because it's like spooky down in the stacks.
Yeah.
If you were a ghost, wouldn't you want to be in a library?
I'm not a ghost and
like
I want to be in a library.
It's the best place to be a ghost.
Yeah.
Well, there's always that feeling of like cool air, even if you're not in a basement or something, but like in some stacks where there's nobody walking around, or you feel like you're in some, in a really big library, you feel like nobody's been down this corridor for a while, and that kind of like chilly energy, I think. Also, you're like surrounded by ideas and words and stuff. And it's a charged area.
Books are alive.
Discover the power of books.
They come out of the books and then they eat your soul.
Would you be afraid to be a librarian who had like a night shift if you lived in, if you worked in a big old library or in a museum library like that?
I would welcome my ghost friends. Sounds great. I think, yeah, maybe it's also just like to break up the workflow.
Yeah.
Have some ghosts around.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Kate, for your email.
Less scary in a library than like a meatpacking facility.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, duh. I mean,
there are a lot of
literally
things in between.
Anything is less
thinking
scary.
Thinking about places I might be the night watchman.
I think your position as the night watchman at a meat factory happened like many alternate lives ago.
Yeah. You've already lived that truth.
The shadow person version of my life.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening to this week's Night Call, our very special New York edition, for Molly at least. If you haven't already, you should subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review and a rating. We love to see what you think of the podcast, especially if it's nice. You can also follow us on Twitter at Night Call Pod, Instagram at Night Call Podcast, and on Facebook at Night Call Podcast.
But if you're a shadow person, don't follow us
anywhere.
Anywhere.
Don't follow us down a dark alley. Don't follow us out of the movies, even if it's a revival screening of Something's Gotta Give. Just don't follow us anywhere.
Yeah, maybe the shadow person was related to Something's Gotta Give.
It had to have been. It was a judgmental shadow person that was like, do it again. Just you'll be sorry. You'll be so sorry. Anyway,
great.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. R.I.P. Art Bell.
R.I.P. Art Bell.
And thank you so much to this week's sponsors, HelloFresh, Care.com, and Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.